Thank you. I will describe the 2009 NIST Language Recognition Evaluation, LRE09. This NIST coordinated this evaluation under U.S. government sponsorship, and this work was largely done with Craig Greenberg, my colleague, in the NIST Multimodal Information Group. So the 2009 evaluation was the fifth in a series of NIST-coordinated LREs. The first was in 96, and there was a gap, and there were evaluations in 2003 and 2005, 2007, 2009. So one might suspect that there could be another evaluation in 2011. In terms of 2009, key changes were in the nature of the data, and we'll say more about that, the treatment of dialects and mutually intelligible languages, and in the set of evaluation test conditions, and we will get to those. The dates of the LRE09 are indicated there. There were 18 total participating sites. The prior NIST evaluations used conversational telephone speech. This involved paying subjects to make a call, and it's the nature of language recognition that you just want them to make a single call in their native language in the U.S., preferably to control channel conditions. This paradigm is becoming expensive and impractical. It's hard to pay people to make a single call these days because talk is cheap. Telephone access is easy. So LRE09 attempted to use primarily found data, in this case found from Voice of America broadcast data. This was assembled by the Linguistic Data Consortium. They actually found data from three different eras of Voice of America, and two were used for development data. The LDC has, in other conferences, separately reported on this data collection. The feasibility study of using this data for LRE was done beforehand and done indeed by researchers here at the Brno University of Technology. So that was a key part of getting the data for this evaluation. The selected segments that were actually used for tests and also designated for development were segments determined by auditing to involve narrowband speech, and we wanted to get as many different speakers as possible. The evaluation also used CTS data that had been collected previously, but for various reasons had not been used in the prior evaluations. So here is our list of target languages for this evaluation, and an advantage of using found data is that we could have more target languages. Indeed, we had 23 in this case. In some cases, we just listed as languages classes that would previously have been treated as dialects, English, American, and American English, and Indian English, also Hindi and Urdu. So in one sense, we just threw these into a single pot of languages, but we'll also talk about the language pair condition. And indeed, we specified eight language pairs as being of particular interest. These are languages that are similar in case of English dialects. Hindi and Urdu may be viewed as a dialect distinction. Other languages are, in many cases, mutually intelligible and close. Bosnian and Croatian, Creole, Haitian, and French are of interest. It included such pairs as Cantonese and Mandarin, and Spanish and Portuguese. So we specified these eight as being of of particular interest for those who wanted to investigate them. So the evaluation consisted of a long series of trials for each of the conditions, and as in the past, we chose test segments of approximately 30 or approximately 10 or approximately 3 seconds of speech. And for each trial, you have a target language hypothesis and an alternative hypothesis. And for each such trial, we require, as in the past, a decision and a score. Now, we specified three different test conditions this year. The closed set condition, this is the traditional condition. It's been part of all the evaluations. It's the required condition. And in this reach language segment, you have one of the target languages as hypothesis. And each segment is running with each target as hypothesis. The alternative hypothesis is it's a different target language, one of the other 22. In the open set condition, the alternative hypothesis is not simply that it's one of those other 22 languages. It could be that, but it could also be some other language, an unknown out-of-set language. And finally, we introduced this year the language pair condition, which is designed to look at just distinguishing pairs so that the hypothesis in all cases is a single language. You know, the target language is English. The alternative is that it's French, say. So there are 223 target languages. There are 253 pairs and of languages one could look at this way, and systems were invited to do all of them. Only a couple chose to do so, or selected ones, in particular the eight mentioned above. This gives you some indication of the training and test segments that were provided in their source. So for each language, it's indicating the number of segments, and between segments of each duration, they were provided as VOA training or VOA test or CTS test. Now, all the CTS data from previous evaluations were also available. And the VOA train, we provided lots of data, and not just limited to these selected segments, but the whole corpora, and these were on terabyte drives that were distributed to people. But for each language, we often had about 200, in terms of the VOA data, segments of each duration separated. For the test, we had often 300 to 400, in part depending on availability. And we had training in languages for which we had training data for all the languages for which there was not previous CTS data. In many languages, the development data was CTS, but the new data could be VOA. So that's the numbers. There are 18 sites. They're listed here. Many of them are represented in this room. The evaluation metric was the traditional metric we have used, which is essentially something like a half total error rate. We equally weight cost of a miss and cost of a false alarm and take an average of the miss rate and the false alarm rate, but we average that over all possible target languages and all possible alternative languages. And just computed this way. There's also a weighting indicator for the open set condition of how we weight the out of set alternative to the actual target languages. So let's turn to results. So in terms of the official metric, these are the results for our systems. See average scores for the closed set and the open set condition. The scores are cumulative, so that the three-second score is the total of the green and the yellow and the red bar. open, closed set on the left, open set on the right. We have labels of some systems that indicate the same system, closed set and open set. Traditionally, we have not identified systems with their scores in public presentations, but you can compare open and closed on the same languages, and you note that, you know, it's really 3 seconds, going from 10 seconds to 3 seconds, that takes the big performance hit. That's closed and open. Here's closed and language pairs. So for the two sites that did language pairs, and you can see the relatively good performance as you might expect on language pairs. And we've traditionally put these on dead plots. There are dead plots for the closed set on the left. We have the various systems on the 32nd. And on the right, for one system, we give you a flavor of the difference between 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 3 seconds. The linearity of the most of the plots suggest underlying normal distributions. Here's open set, and you can see the performance hit you take in going from closed set to open set. There we, on the right, put up both the closed set and open set for each of the three durations to give you a sense there. Findings and analysis. We'll talk about the effect of averaging in dead plots. The other term is pooling, but I guess we're moving away from the term pooling. But we had a long discussion at the workshop, is it right to average debts across multiple, you know, for the same data, multiple trials in multiple languages? And we didn't resolve that and won't resolve that. But you can see the funny thing that happens in particular for the, in a pairs case, this is two systems for Russian and Ukrainian. So the green is for the Ukrainian language hypothesis and the blue the Russian language hypothesis. And these, there's inherently a symmetry between these curves, because this is the pair thing. The only possibilities are that it's Russian or it's Ukrainian. And if you average those, pool them together, what happens for system one, the combined curve in black goes right through the middle, just what you expect perhaps and want. System two, the combined curve way out showing lesser combined performance. Why is that? We show the distributions on to the right of the curves for the two languages, and they have different shapes. Another thing to note is the crosses show the actual decision points, the circles, the minimum C average points. And the first system one, they're right on top of one another in the middle, good calibration. System two, the crosses are way at the extremes, with the circles in the middle indicating poor calibration. You combine them, the result for system two is what you see. So as I said, there are questions: is it the right thing to average across languages? But we have done so. Here's a look at language pairs. This is for one system, one of the systems that did all the language pairs. We looked at, George Doddington created this curve, I believe. This looked at all the pairs. This shows the ones that had the largest average error rates. So all the others were below 2%. Most confusable up at the top were Hindi-Urdu and Bosnian-Croatian. These were among the pairs of interest, and these are certainly mutually intelligible. They may be considered dialects, and indeed, the at least arguable that these language or dialect distinctions are based largely on political boundaries rather than more inherent language patterns. In any case, those two are the most confusable. The next ones were Russian-Ukrainian, the English dialects, and Dari and Farsi, which are generally considered mutually intelligible. You can see a few others that got in there. Creole French is in the list, along with several others. Not on the list of leading ones were two that were in our list of pairs of interest, Cantonese and Mandarin, Portuguese and Spanish. I mean, these are in different ways languages that might be regarded as similar, but in fact maybe aren't, and at least for the system involved, were not that hard to distinguish. So we can look at debt curves where we limit to a particular target language. This avoids the issue of averaging across languages. And here we do so looking at the training corpus type. So these show the various languages for the that had training on the VOA data, and then we'll look at the ones that had training on CTS data. You see kind of a movement outward either way. The best performance was on ones with CTS data that were languages done previously, even though in many cases the training was CTS and the test was VOA. Nonetheless, Spanish, Korean, Mandarin, for example, were among the best performing languages. Worst performing were several Indian languages, and we know there are confusions there, Hindi, Urdu, Indian English. Here we look at performance by the test corpus, whether it was VOA or CTS, 30, 10, and 3. And one thing we were sort of pleased with, and, you know, we just introduced using VOA data, you know, would they be recognized? Well, in fact, overall, the performance was broadly comparable. This even though for some of the VOA languages, the training was CTS. For some reason, I don't know, we know why, the CTS curves here appear less linear. And some history. So we like to look back over the course of several evaluations, how have things changed? Are we seeing better performance? There are caveats attached to that. So here we have the curves over the evaluation years of the numbers of target languages, which have gone up in recent evaluations. Number of participants, well, it's been up in the two most recent evaluations, but we're down slightly in 2009 compared to 2007. We wonder if the terabyte drives scared some people off. And we've had an increasing number of out-of-set languages. As for the basic performance measure, for 3 seconds, we've had nice progression. You know, obviously the data has changed, the languages have changed some, but we've seen improved results for 3 seconds. For 30 seconds for the past couple of evaluations, we seem to have plateaued in terms of the best system. It's also noted that this year's 3-second performance was at the level of 30-second performance in 1996. Here we do some history looking at the best system. Now, caveat, the differences reflect both systems and somewhat changes in the task definition and, of course, different data, and it's hard to sort those out, so these things are involved. Nonetheless, what can we say about how performance has compared? I think we hinted at that before. The 3 seconds, we see the black is 09, the blue is 07. We see continuing performance improvement, but in the 10 seconds we've plateaued, in the 30 seconds maybe we've retrogressed a bit. Here we look at a couple of individual languages and just restrict attention to the same language in 09 and 07, and so thick is 09, thin is 07, and the colors correspond to the three durations. And there are two kinds of languages we see where we have language comparisons. For Korean, we actually see improvements throughout. In fact, the 32nd Korean 2009 was essentially perfect. The results are off the chart. The languages, Farsi is one. We see the overall pattern that we see for the evaluation as a whole. Improvement at 3 seconds, little change or even retrogression at 30 seconds. And of course, there are languages that are new this year as well. Also, we'll compare the dialect kind of tests that we've done previously. This is American English and Indian English debts, and we do see improvements. Black is 2009, blue is 2007. That's 30 seconds, 10 seconds, and even more. There's 3 seconds, American and Indian English. And going to Hindi Urdu, which is known to be a challenging language pair, but we see improvement at 30 seconds, 3 seconds, and there's 10 seconds. Oh, gotta wait. 3 seconds. 3 seconds, well, maybe there's improvement. 3 seconds, Hindi Urdu is perhaps the hardest comparison. The performance a little better than random. A few words in summary. We experimented with a new data collection paradigm, and we're reasonably satisfied with producing an effective evaluation, get roughly comparable performance. Repeating this trick, finding the right data for future evaluations remains a challenge. We've had continued performance improvement, subject to caveats on LRE 09, at least on the shortest segments, for both closed and open set conditions. Language pairs was introduced this year, and particularly for hard pairs, it's very much of interest and poses challenges and will likely be a part of any future evaluations that we do. There's still an issue we've argued about whether to use debt curves averaged across languages. And I think that concludes my talk. Thank you.
So thanks. Any question?
This is just a comment on comparing C average between different NIST evaluation years where the number of target languages are different. If there are more target languages, then the way the evaluation is set up, the alternate hypothesis has more languages. So if there are more languages, you know less about the alternative hypothesis because you're less sure about which one is going to be there. So that makes it a little bit harder.
It makes it a little bit harder?
Yes, if there are more languages, it makes it a little bit harder. Not a lot harder. If you were doing just plain identification, obviously the number of languages has a strong effect, but there's a second order effect which still happens.
So arguably, if we just apparently tread water, but if we made the problem harder, and obviously we've introduced languages people haven't seen before, you can argue that that's a degree of progress. It's also perhaps an argument for the language pairs condition, which will sort of tend to take that effect out. Others?
Other questions? Do you plan to use a Voice of America data for the next evaluation?
There are others in here we need to discuss this with. I don't think we can hope to just get more Voice of America data. We are exploring other similar type corpora that may be available that have multiple languages. Are there any recommendations that people would have?
If you have suggestions, send them to NIST for data that does not have to be paid for telephone call by telephone call. We're finished with that. Too expensive. But sources of found data which vary in channel and language independently.
I've always been wondering why NIST doesn't focus on identification as opposed to just recognition. Or so, like, for practical applications, for example, ASR, I'm interested in dialect recognition, and I'm planning, or I'm using now, dialect recognition for to improve ASR. And the first step I would like to do is to identify the dialect as opposed just to tell me, you know, to plot the death curve. I would like to see focus on identification, and I wonder why.
You're contrasting identification with recognition?
Because it's the equal error doesn't mean anything for identification. It gives you, there's correlation between accuracy and equal error rate, but there's no, it's not, you can't say much sometimes about the accuracy of the. I really like, I've always been wondering why. I want to see how well it does in certain dialects and you know, stuff like that. You understand hopefully that question.
I'm not sure. You're saying you're interested in distinguishing particular closely related dialects, or are you saying, I think of the identification problem is, here's a language, are there any possibilities, which one is it? You're talking about the first of those, dialect distinction.
Yeah, I'm interested in identification of dialects, so I would like to see like comparison of systems based on identification accuracy as opposed to equal error rate comparison.
So, I mean, does the language pairs condition, does that appeal to you?
Yes, but doesn't mean that. You have an equal error rate of 5%, but my identification accuracy of four dialects is 91%. So I would like to see basically a comparison with systems based on their accuracy, not just based on another metric. This is what I'm suggesting. I like this metric, but adding also identification, so you have another layer which tries to give you, okay, given an utterance, this is the dialect with this confidence, as opposed to, you know, just
okay.
I wonder why.
I'm not sure I've picked up all of that, but maybe this is something we can talk about further offline.
Okay.
Yes, I can comment. It's on, I think.
It's on.
Yes. I've had lots of discussions, some of it quite heated, with NIST and other participants about similar issues. So Alvin mentioned this, the pooling of the debt curves, and the equal error rate being one point on that debt curve is part of that discussion. So I'm not going to start that again now, but I think I have something useful to say about the C average metric. So if you're doing identification, you're given a speech segment and you're told here are N languages, the speech segment can be in one of these N languages. Then you also have to assume some prior. So you can assume a flat prior over those languages. They're all equally likely before you looked at the speech, that would be the identification problem. So what NIST has done is they, in fact, they're sampling this problem if there are N languages at N different priors. So the indifferent priors is target language number one has a prior of a half, and all of the other languages share between them a probability of half. So it's a skewed prior. And then you go to the next target language and you say now this one has probability of half and all the others have a smaller probability. And then you measure the essentially the identification error rate given that prior n times, and you add all those error rates. That's the C average. So
okay, I think we have to go home to the next speaker. Thanks again, Alvin, for the presentation. The next